Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Show number 1032. Well, you slept. There's a coup going on. Not here. I'll give it time. In Northern Africa and in Zimbabwe. And the 92 or 93-year-old leader Mugabe is under protective custody, he and his family. So they say. That'll be a center of the news today, along with the top six at six, which we'll get to in just a second. I want to remind you, next Tuesday, we'll be live at the Museum of Broadcast Communications to do the show, doing the show from the weekend update set of the Saturday Night Live, the Experience exhibit, happening there right now. The only way you can get in to see the show, and, you know, we'll feed you and do all the things we normally do at that hour. There's a shower set up. If you didn't have time, you can jump in there. Is to win the tickets here. So, Mike, why don't we start the morning off with some free tickets? Pair of free tickets, caller 7 right now. But you got to be able to go next Tuesday. The Museum of Broadcast Communications. What are the cross streets? It's right around the corner here.
What is it? Dearborn and State and Kinsey, I think.
State and Kinsey?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Kinsey.
So it's State and Kinsey. You do the show, hang around for a while, and Harry Carey's is right there. Go get yourself some lunch.
Oh, my God. That's a great area. Yeah. And plus, watching us for a couple hours?
Thrills.
How fun is that?
Thrills. So, the cool thing is you get to see the Saturday Night Live exhibit. Without the crowds, without the hassle, mm-hmm. Because it's just you and 50 other folks.
It's 360 North State.
Yeah, okay.
For those wanting to put it in the GPS.
So that's the deal. It's next Tuesday morning, live from the Weekend Update Desk in the Saturday Night Live Experience, and you're going to be one of a very select group. We're only having 50 people for the show. Yeah. 50, we're maxing it out of 50 folks.
Does that include us in the 50, or is it like 50 plus us?
I hadn't thought about that, yeah. Some of you may not be able to come. Unless you win tickets.
All right.
Seventh caller now at 312-981-7200. Everybody okay? Everybody have a good evening yesterday?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't want people to think that we talk every night, you know. That's why you keep fresh by not discussing things the night before.
Every Tuesday I'm depressed. This Is Us is getting so depressing. Oh. I don't know how much more I can watch.
Do you know what? Honestly, Mary, I stopped watching it.
I know, you did. You were so smart.
I can't do it. It's too depressing.
What's bothering
you,
the opioid addiction thing?
Well, yeah, it's just, my gosh, everybody, there's always something sad happening. There's never anything good.
And you know what? They all have pretty good lives. You know, it's not,
spoiled.
Pretty good lives, and they're brats, all three of them.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, we just.
So they're doing a spinoff, This Is Annoying?
Yeah. I don't know. They just, something good needs to happen.
I made a pot of chili last night. It was really good.
Ooh, that does sound good. Did you bring us some?
No, I ate it all.
Oh. We're a little worried about you and your neighborhood, Grzanich.
Yeah, don't get me started.
Grzanich
is a little nervous.
Lives in a portion of Uptown, which is like right around a corner from him, has suddenly become crime central.
Yeah.
What if Grzanich were like the crime boss and his cover was doing news on this show?
Good thing he has a dog.
Yeah.
Then we need a nickname like Steve the Nose Grzanich or, you know. The haircut.
I understand, and I hope people understand when I say this. Grzanich is a grown man. I'm a grown man. Dave's a grown man. John DeCosta is here this morning. John's a grown man. It's much easier for us to walk around, mm-hmm. You know, in even troubling areas than it is for women.
Oh, completely.
And I'd be concerned about women in that area, but you know, these guys are pretty brash. The guys that have invaded your hood.
Yeah, and it's not even a thing about feeling uncomfortable, because I was out when this shooting happened the other night with my dog. We were doing our regular walk. It was 6 o'clock in the evening, and when you hear 30 gunshots and you're just a half a block away, you don't know if one of those bullets is going to, you know, there's not much you can do to prepare for that.
You know, Steve brings up a great point. You know, so many of these shootings are spray or drive-by. Yep. So you could just be, you know, like the lady in the Starbucks at 31st, the Starbucks up by you, Steve.
Yep.
Yeah, just minding your own business. And because of the guns now that are out on the streets, there are these bullets, you know, that spray. And you can get hit doing standing there.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, these people doing the shooting, they're not really good aim. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there were bullets everywhere, broken glass everywhere, so.
Be careful out there.
Yeah.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
Top 6 at 6 begins in Washington, where last night President Trump tweeted out condolences and concern for the people of Sutherland Springs, Texas, and said authorities are there and on the ground and working the scene. Problem was, wrong mass shooting. Shooting was in California. Twitter immediately went nuts and said, would you cut and paste?
Right.
The tweet has since been taken down. Maybe tweet a little less.
Or know your facts.
Maybe tweet a little less.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't mean to bring logic into it.
Tweeting a little less is probably the best bet at this point. Next. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said he couldn't remember anything yesterday. I don't remember. Sir, is your name Jeffrey Sessions?
I do not recall.
I don't remember. My mama used to call me lots of things.
That was painful to watch. After about 20 minutes of watching it, mm-hmm. I couldn't do it anymore.
Are you right-handed or left-handed? I am not sure. Last time I picked up a pen, I couldn't tell you.
You know what, watching that, Steve, weren't you, it was sad. I mean, I thought this is the top attorney of the United States of America.
Yeah. Now, here's what you're going to see. Sessions yesterday, after not saying anything and still being guilty of perjury by all accounts from his previous misstatements and you know, whether or not they're lies has to be proven for perjury charges to be filed. But he's in a world of hurt. So why is this such a crazy notion? You got a huge Senate problem in Alabama. We'll talk about that in just a second. Sessions was a hugely popular senator from Alabama. Trump doesn't want him in the attorney general's chair. Trump wants to save that seat. Yesterday, Mitch McConnell, one of my top five least favorite people on the planet, mentioned Sessions as a potential replacement, even though he has a job now. Mm-hmm. Do you have to connect the dots here?
Mm-mm.
You take him out of the AG's job. You say you got a job. You can go back to the Senate. He runs against Roy Moore if Roy Moore stays in the race. Or he replaces Moore if Moore backs down. More on that in a second. And then Trump doesn't have the AG problem he thinks he has. He puts somebody else in there, provided he can find somebody. Sessions still has a job and saves face. And the seat is still saved for Republicans.
Clearly. I mean, it's like 101.
Yeah.
Whether it happens, though, I think that's
the plan you're looking at, kids.
A new attorney general who can fire the special counsel.
The question is, who'd take that gig?
Right.
I got the name.
Who?
Scaramucci! Oh,
no.
Sorry. Next.
I don't recall it.
Roy Moore is losing support left and right, and now far right. Sean Hannity, he of the Fox News Network, says Roy Moore has 24 hours to come up with proof to back up the fact that he claims he's innocent and explain why he was banned from a mall and all the other things charge-wise that have come up. And it's not good enough to say God's on our side and the media is harassing me and these people are making it up.
Right. And suing the media is probably not the best course for him right now.
I would say bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on. Because that would imagine that would put him in a position to have to supply depositions and various other things that I'm sure he doesn't want to talk about. I would guess Roy Moore, with all his piss and vinegar, will leave this race today.
You think so?
I think at some point today, he's gonna get out, and then Senator Sessions will be back.
You guys want to make it interesting?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think this guy's going anywhere.
Okay.
$50?
No. We got to bet something you really like. You don't care about money. How about donuts?
Pizza.
Okay, sure. Donuts.
Yeah.
How about a dozen donuts?
A dozen donuts. There you go. Next. This is what Trump meant to be tweeting about, a gunman driving stolen vehicles and choosing his targets at random. We'll get an ABC update on this in about 20 minutes. Open fire without provocation in a rural Northern California town ended up killing four. This could have been another Newtown if not for the lockdown at the elementary school he targeted first. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get in the front door, started shooting up the building through the windows and through the sides of the building. Eventually made his way in, but with the entire building on lockdown, couldn't get any of the classrooms, left and started shooting cars on the road. Alex Stone will join us at 6:40 to talk about what happened there. But the world's so upside down now. That barely made national news last night.
I felt the same way when we were when New York happened a few weeks ago, just the most recent one on the bike path. All regular programming was stopped. Yeah. You know, we went live to New York, and then with this, it's almost not. It's not that we've become desensitized, but
we are
a little bit, don't you think?
Well, more than a little, yeah. Totally.
Well, and a good thing of those the drills, the active shooter drills. If it hadn't made been for the lockdowns and that, I mean, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Next. In an effort to rewrite the U.S. tax code, Republican senators are now trying to slip in a couple of things that you need to know about. The Affordable Care Act's insurance mandate, that which forces you by law to either pay for health insurance or pay a fine, depending on your age and depending on a number of things. That Senate bill, the new bill, would eliminate the mandate, which means you wouldn't have to deal with that if you don't want insurance. You wouldn't have to pay the fine. However, they get you here or they get you there, because that money going in would mean, according to the bipartisan Congressional Budget Office, that would mean that 12 to 13 million people would lose their health insurance in the next 5 years. Other than that, it is a perfect plan. Mm-hmm. The Senate bill's tax cuts for individuals would expire at the end of 2025. Most of the conservative senators would likely be on board then. The House has already passed their version of it. The plan would have to be melded into one. The corporate tax rate change would be permanent. All of this is to win a political argument and for the Republicans to say, hey, look at the legislation we got done. That's the major point of this. This is a highly flawed effort with all the problems we've talked about before. Tax code needs to be rewritten, but it doesn't need to be written in 3 weeks because you want to tell people you did something. Next. J.B. Pritzker's campaign now says he's going to release his income tax returns by December 4th. That's after one of the rivals released a video comparing him to Donald Trump. So Pritzker's income tax returns again out by December 4th. And finally, Lady Gaga stopped her concert in Connecticut to help a fan that got punched in the face after another concert goer started fighting over a rose she had thrown into the crowd.
About that.
Somebody missed the memo.
Uh-huh.
Gaga throws a rose in the crowd. She's not looking for a fist fight. She's looking for y'all to get along.
She wanted the girl's name, and Meredith, and then she said, make sure she gets a backstage pass, too.
And the girl that punched her in the face, what happened to her?
I think she was just taken out.
Yeah.
Escorted out.
That's the right answer. Mm-hmm. Top six brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. 6:28, Alex Stone from ABC News on that Northern California shooting coming up in about 12 minutes. Mr. President, if you're listening, that's the one you need to be tweeting about. Back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
They went on an immediate lockdown without having to be told to do so by law enforcement. After that series of gunshots, the shooter literally took his vehicle and rammed their fence and gate, entered the grounds on foot with a semi-automatic rifle that had multi-round clip. Working with the school superintendent and school officials, we were able to secure the children away from that school, and they have since been reunited with their families, which is very important.
Alex Stone from ABC News joins us to fill in the gaps and update us on that heinous Northern California shooting, which could have been so much worse. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, Steve, good morning. And, you know, it's cliche to say it could have been worse, but that's exactly the accurate way to describe this one, that this guy was on a rampage through his small community of Rancho Tehama, about 2 hours north of Sacramento, and that as he was carrying it out, his final stop, seven different crime scenes, final stop was Rancho Tehama Elementary School. It was just before 8 o'clock in the morning. Kindergartners were being dropped off by their parents, and he then made his way to that school, but they had heard gunfire when he was about a quarter of a mile away, and they got into lockdown. So when he got there, he couldn't get in. They were completely locked down. He rammed his truck through the front gate. He then became angry and began shooting about 30 rounds at the school. Some children were hit on the inside in lockdown by falling glass. One was hit by a bullet in the arm, but non-life-threatening. He tried to get in. The doors were locked. Everything was locked. He got angry, left, and then was shot and killed by police. But police are saying that if they had not gotten into lockdown that quickly, they feel like this could have been another Newtown, that his plan was to get in there and to kill young children and parents, but couldn't get in.
And that's what we've been talking about, too, this morning, Alex. The response time, just unbelievable by these law enforcement officials. And it was gut-wrenching to watch the sheriff give the news conference and saying this could have been worse. This could have been many more casualties, especially with the children. But they knew they had been doing drills, yes, and they knew to go into lockdown mode.
Yeah, and this is a school in the middle of nowhere. It's down a desolate road. In fact, they had planned on it being a senior community where the school is right now. It's not in a populated area. That this would not be a school in downtown L.A. or downtown, you know, in Manhattan that you might think, okay, they're gonna drill for something like this. But they had done a lot of drills even in this very remote area, and it likely saved lives yesterday. This is, you can imagine, as a parent, you pull up, you're dropping your kindergartner off in a very rural area, and then this happens. And luckily, they got into lockdown, and then the parents and the children hid inside the buildings, and that it was enough of a lockdown that he couldn't get in, and that he gave up and left. It's so easy to say, all right, all of these lockdown drills, what good would they do? Somebody will find their way in anyway. This guy couldn't. He gave up. He was there for about 6 minutes of his 45-minute shooting spree, and then he moved on from that point and continued his rampage.
Yeah, and the school people are heroes for being smart enough to do it. The why never fixes this, but it has to be asked to answer. So a domestic start to this, do we know anything more?
Yeah, the motive at this point looks like it was some kind of anger with a woman, a domestic situation, police are calling it. He had been previously charged with assaulting her, and they believe that led, after he had some kind of fight with her yesterday, he killed her. Then he got in his pickup truck and killed two neighbors that he had fights with, and then continued on and randomly shot more people. And they think, other than the girlfriend, that and the neighbors were somewhat random, and that he just kind of walked outside and got whoever he could, that then his other victim was completely random as well. But 10 people are injured. There are gunshot wounds that they are dealing with today, and they fear that there might be more victims that they don't know about, because he had so many crime scenes. Did he pull the trigger somewhere, you know, in some house, or go after a family member who they haven't been able to find, and they could be dead inside their home. So it's 5 dead right now, including the gunman, but they don't know if it's going to go up from here.
Alex, this guy was no stranger to the police. I know earlier in January he was charged with stabbing a neighbor, and then his mom was talking to one of the news outlets and said that he had threatened another neighbor with a knife. So do we know anything at this point about the guns that he had? Were they obtained legally? Anything? Any background on the weapons?
They're trying to figure out how he got them right now. It was one semi-automatic rifle, 2 handguns that he had. But, there were friends of his roommate. He killed his roommate. Friends of his roommate who say that they had warned authorities that this guy was going down a dark hole, that he was angry, that he had guns, that he had mental issues. It's not uncommon in Tehama County to have guns, but that this guy they didn't think should have them. And that now they're saying, hey, we told people this guy was bad news, and that nothing was done. Now, could police have done anything if he didn't commit any crimes except for what he had been arrested for, the stabbing and assault and whatnot? We don't know. But at this point, they're trying to figure all that out.
The questions that we always ask, and some of them can't be answered. But anyway, thanks for the details. More to come as we get them. Alex Stone live in Northern California. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. And let's do traffic from Mary, and we'll come back with more of the Steve Cochran Show. Mary, what do you have? Coach Q, later on in the program, Rangers in town to play the Blackhawks tonight. What time is it? It's early. It's 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock game tonight. Perfect for you, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. 7 o'clock. Who is up till 7 o'clock? It's the middle of the night. Crazy people out on the street till 9:30.
And now that it gets dark earlier, last night it was 6:30, and I thought, oh, I'm going to start getting ready for bed.
Insane.
It's 6:30.
It is insane. No, we're looking forward to it. Going to have a good time tonight at the game. And Coach Q will be on later to talk about. Jordan Goodman will join us next hour to talk about money. Now, here's the deal. When Jordan Goodman's on, a lot of folks listen to Jordan Goodman, and then about 5 minutes after he's off the air, you text in and go, hey, could you ask? No, he's gone. I can't ask him. Now he's gone. Text your questions in early. 312-981-7200. you have questions about personal finance, this is the time to ask them. I'll get as many on as I can in the middle of my own yapping. So he'll be on next hour. And what else we got coming up? Oh, Dean. Yeah, Dean will be on after 8 o'clock. Well, maybe. I don't know. Okay, he'll be on.
See how the 7 o'clock hour goes.
As well. Hey, yeah, John, you and I have a New Year's Eve show coming up, big New Year's Eve show with Mike Toomey.
Oh, yeah. Can't
it's going to be funny. Tim Benker will be there. Very
Tim
funny
Benker,
show.
Yes.
Very funny show. Yeah. Special guest yet to be added. Fireworks.
Yes.
Indoor fireworks.
Indoor fireworks.
All at the Tivoli.
Tivoli, downtown Downers Grove. Beautiful. Second year there. Absolutely gorgeous.
Love that theater.
Old-time movie theater. Beautiful. 1,000 yes. seats. It's gorgeous.
And that show was at 7?
7 o'clock.
Yes, because it's New Year's Eve for people that can't stay awake till midnight. You know, I know it's New Year's Eve, and you go, this is my big night. Well, then, okay, go out when you get home, because you're going to be out. You're gonna be, we're going to be done with you by 9:30.
Yeah, and they can stay if they want to stay. They can watch this new Star Wars movie, I think, is playing after.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So there you go.
Extra incentive.
Mark Mazrimus and the Tivoli people, phenomenal.
They've been great. But you can go to dinner before the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or you could watch Star Wars or go to dinner after the show. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make this work for you.
What
guys.
Happened to the 4 o'clock show?
What do you mean?
Well, that was good because then that was early, and then you have dinner afterwards.
The 4 o'clock show like last week?
No.
You mean last year when we did an early one?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Last year's show was at like 1.
Yeah, it was 1 o'clock. It was 1 and 6.
It was another one.
And the reason we didn't do that this year was because Steve and I ended up in the hospital last year.
Right, right.
Let's not do that.
Two shows
just do one.
You don't want to continue that tradition.
No.
No.
No, that's not. Happy New Year.
And why can't you show up at 7 o'clock?
Yeah, right.
It's practically in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I'll try.
It's only an hour and a half, the show. Maybe almost 2.
Mary, you go with me. Come on, we'll go.
Okay.
It'll be our New Year's Eve date.
We'll go have drinks before.
How do I get tickets to this New Year's Eve show?
Real simple. You just go to eventbrite.com, and right there, just click on the Steve Cochran New Year's Eve, Cochran's New Year's Eve.
And, you get and if you don't see there. It, just put it in the search bar.
Exactly.
Steve Cochran
yeah.
will come right up.
Exactly. And that's what do we call that? We call that... What sponsored by?
Oh, it's an Iceman production.
Yes, yeah, Iceman production.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we do that? You guys want to do the match game?
Yes.
We'll play the match game?
Oh, I love it.
All right,
it.
Now here's the deal. If you're going to play the match game, mm-hmm. we have tickets for you to join us for the show. So there's no need to play the match game unless you can join us next Tuesday morning. Let the other kids play who can join us next Tuesday morning. So if you're sure you can join us next Tuesday morning, you want to come see the brand new Saturday Night Live exhibit, alone, personal, private thing, you and a few friends, at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, the only way you can get into the show is by winning tickets here. All right? So we'll take match game contestants now. There's your prize. Pair of tickets to join us next Tuesday morning at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Where we will broadcast live from the Weekend Update desk at Saturday Night Live. The Experience. 312-981-7200 is the number. All right, roll the theme. John playing the role of Gene Rayburn.
Gene Rayburn.
Don't run with that long mic. You'll poke your eye out. Charles Nelson Reilly and Brett Summers were not available because they're dead. So we filled the room with our own celebrities.
That's right.
Dave, are you here?
I'm here.
Andre, are you here?
Oh, always. Yes.
Mary, are you here?
Do we have to be smoking to be here? Didn't they all smoke?
That's off the air.
He's smoking a pipe and somebody else's cigarette.
Actually, Charles Nelson Reilly did smoke a pipe.
He did smoke a pipe. Yeah.
Mike, Sandberg, we're all in. All right, so the way this works is we'll go to Phil in Grays Lake first. John, you're the host. Say hi to Phil.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
How are you? How are you today?
Terrific.
Good, good. You know how to play the game, correct?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay. It's real simple. I'm going to give you a phrase, and there'll be a blank. You have to fill in the blank, but don't give me the answer until I ask you for the answer. Our celebrities will write it down. Let's see how many of these celebrities you can match.
Wait till all the celebrities are locked in, Phil.
Right. Yeah.
Are you ready, Phil?
Yes.
Here we go.
Phil, have you ever been so excited?
Yes.
I'll take
no,
that.
That's a no.
Wow. I'll take that as a yes.
Thanks, Phil.
Phil, you seem to have a very slow heart rate. Do you work with explosives?
Yes,
well, what do you do for a living, Phil?
Well, I'm retired right now.
Oh, well, then lighten up, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's get a little louder, Phil.
Perfect.
All right, no
here
problem.
We here we go.
It's still the middle of the night, just like you, Phil.
Okay, that's good.
All right, so here you go, Phil.
Don't say your answer. Wait till John asks for it.
I will ask for it, then you'll say your answer. Here you go, Phil. There is nothing Mary Sandberg enjoys more than doing laundry. At home, she has two sets of washers and dryers. She and Pat just bought a third set so they can do wash in their blank. Don't give me the answer yet, Phil. I will read that again. There is nothing Mary Sandberg enjoys more than doing laundry. At home, she has two sets of washers and dryers. She and Pat just bought a third set so they can do wash in their blank.
I'm ready.
Celebrities, fill in their blank.
Andrea's
hang on,
ready.
Phil. I'll ask
ready?
For your answer in just a second.
Mary, you ready?
Everybody set? Everybody set? Upstairs?
Yep. Everybody ready? Mike, you ready?
Yes. Mary,
all right,
yes.
We're all ready.
Phil, what is your answer?
Phil, are you with us?
He's sleeping.
Phil's gone.
Good morning, Phil.
Phil's gone.
Hello?
Hello,
Phil's
Phil?
Gone. Phil's gone.
He said he was tired.
He didn't know how to play.
Okay.
Poor
Let
guy.
Me go to Pam. Pam, did you hear the question?
I did.
All right, okay. Pam, do you have an answer for us?
I do. I would say pajamas.
Pajamas.
Pajamas. Oh, that's
pajamas.
Huge.
Pretty good. It's pretty
you
good.
Took an article of Coley. Very good,
pretty
Pam.
Good,
very
good,
good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Let's hold go the line. Let's see how many matches you have. By the way, Pam, I really like your chances since the other contestant hung up.
Yeah.
Hold on, Pam.
I'm hoping he stopped to get coffee. That
if
would be
Pam
good.
Can get a higher total than the person that's not there, yeah. She's going to be really a big good. Winner.
All right, Dave, why don't you start us off?
I said pajamas.
Yes!
Already.
Dave,
wonderful.
Dave.
Way to go.
Wow, that's great.
Andrea, what is your answer?
I went dirty because they're still newlyweds in their birthday suits.
In their birthday suits.
Same here. Wow. Birthday
yeah.
suits.
Birthday suits. Very yeah. good.
I both. Said in the buff, so.
In the buff.
Yeah. Birthday
okay.
suits.
Mike?
Mike.
I said in the garage.
Okay, wait. What?
What?
No, I... Actually, what? Yes. He was looking at a location.
No,
you were looking
no,
for
no,
an
no. Don't say that's a good answer. It's a terrible answer.
I was going to say bedroom, so that's okay.
The garage.
Yes.
Well, so
Mary
you
on
play
the
game.
Mary on the seventh floor.
Mary.
I said partial clothing, underwear.
And your underpants.
I will
you
take that
all,
too, but it's okay.
That's not
your minds are all in the gutters. I said pajamas.
Yeah.
Well,
wow. They're all
we
articles
dirty.
Of clothing.
That's because Dave endorses those pajamagrams or whatever. So,
oh, so other than Jake's shit. Lunatic answer and the one you endorsed, she got five?
She got, no, she got one. She said pajamas.
Oh, I thought you were giving her credit
yes,
for
we
all
were, like,
the
high-fiving
because
we
all
she
had to do, Pam, you won. You did yeah. great.
You Pam, mentioned. Congratulations. You got one. The Ooh, caller
Pam.
That's not there got zero. Excellent. Okay, all right, so it's really
Pam's
working out well.
Too.
So Pam,
our people.
Pam, we look forward to seeing you next Tuesday.
Oh, thank you. I love this. Thank you so much.
All right, hold the line.
There
see you,
Pam.
That's Pam.
That was great.
We'll play the match game again later with just as much excitement. Could someone do a well-being check on Phil, the first caller?
I don't think he liked us.
If you know Phil, check in on him quickly. A couple of minutes before 7, news next, 720 WDGF.
I have edema on my thigh. Pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine.
I've got a stomach pain that's low. Fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
They're making people better by making medicine better.
He's from Central DuPage Hospital.
And Northwestern Medicine.
Call Dr. Moe right now.
John DeCoste, musical director for the program. Is it tough to get something to rhyme with Northwestern? Like
yes.
Schmorthwestern?
Yes.
Yeah.
Schmorgish. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
All right. All right. And you?
I'm doing good. It's Wednesday.
Appreciate the extra time here. I wanted to have you on because Bill Gates stepped up the other day, as he has wanted to do, along with the Warren Buffett and super rich folks around the planet. The small group of folks have stepped up and said, we're going to give away our money for the greater good of the future and the present. And he's donating a bunch of personal funds to tackle Alzheimer's. How much money are we talking about?
Yeah, it's interesting when you say donate. You know, Mr. Gates has decided he's going to make some investments in Alzheimer's. So he has pledged, I believe, $150 million. And in three different unique buckets, which is it's kind of interesting, kind of great the way that he's doing it. You know, one, he's certainly going to give $50 million to just general bench research, foundational research. Two, he's going to give $50 million to a fund that actually invests in companies that look at novel ways to treat it. So companies that are already up and running versus bench scientists. And then he's going to put another $50 million into an area that says, hey, we've got all these people doing research. We need to get all your information together, and we need to start putting this information together instead of all of you working in silos. So typical Bill Gates fashion, I think, is he's looking at this from many different angles and is going to try to make a big impact.
And he's got a personal stake in this, too. He's got Alzheimer's as a family history, and you know, he's concerned about it, as you would guess you might be. Top 10 causes of death include Alzheimer's. We've made great strides on the other nine. Why is this such a tough one to tackle?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. Here's one, the top 10 that not only don't we have any meaningful treatment for, the death rate is going up. Where in every other one of the top 10, we see the death rate going down and meaningful treatment increasing. So this one's baffling, and there's a couple reasons. One is we can't get the tissue to study until individuals are actually already dead, you know, and we're starting to do autopsy on people
right.
with this.
Right.
And then two, we're still trying to figure out what's the cause. We know there's amyloid that causes this, but wait a second, if we slow that down, is that actually going to treat it? And, you know, Mr. Gates is saying, hey, we need some other ways to find out earlier and whether some of the treatments we have are working. But unfortunately, we don't have any meaningful treatment right now.
One of every three seniors dies with some form of dementia. Doc, when you and I were kids, our parents and grandparents would call it hardening of the arteries. So they sort of knew even back then what was going on to some extent, but it wasn't called Alzheimer's. And I think people get confused on how this kills, but if I'm right, doesn't it sort of fool the body from doing the things it needs to do to stay alive?
Right. So what happens, and we talked about, you know, the brain and how fascinating it is on Monday when we talked about epilepsy and, you know, how it causes seizures. Brain cells need to communicate. They need to talk to each other. They need to, when we see something and we're looking at something, the brain needs to tell us what's going on, needs to remind us of a memory. What's happening in Alzheimer's patients is we have a buildup of something called amyloid and tau, two different proteins that essentially surround brain cells and stop them from communicating to each other. And when they stop communicating to each other, they also die. So this is a progressive disease that stops communication, and it starts in the memory area, but then unfortunately it's progressive and it goes to other areas of the brain. And essentially, if you live long enough and don't die from some other reason, you essentially die from brain failure.
Age is certainly a contributing factor, but young people get this too.
Unfortunately, it is true. You know, we have somewhere between 200 and 250,000 people that have what we call younger onset Alzheimer's under the age of 65. And that's devastating because a lot of these individuals are extremely healthy individuals. I mean, they're in great shape still. They're in their 50s, and yet their brain is being attacked by this protein, which gives them the symptoms of Alzheimer's, and that can be devastating.
Treatments, what do we have?
Not much. We really don't. We have a few medications that will kind of help us with our cognitive studying and brain function, but to be honest with you, we have nothing that's slowing this down. We have nothing that really is saying this is what we can do to prevent it.
What about these brain games, these apps that are out there? You know, my grandmother lived to be 101. She would literally write down the weather forecast every day and write down other things just to journal stuff, even though physically she couldn't get around very well at 100. She wanted to keep her mind active. Is that a strategy?
Absolutely. I think it's a strategy for for all seniors. And to be honest with you, I think it's a strategy for everybody over the age of 50. You know, there's some great ones. Luminosity is one that I really like. It's a free app. You can go online and get it in your phone, and it tests different things. There's some math apps out there as well. But it's a very simple thing. It challenges your brain you can do it for, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes out of the day. And it makes you continue to think. And it makes you think in different ways. Some are math. Some are other spatial things. There's just great testing there. We're starting to see that if people use their brain more, it may not prevent Alzheimer's, but it certainly keeps seniors sharper. So it will certainly help and it will not hurt, that's for sure.
You told me about Happify and Brain Fitness Pro. I've never even heard of those, but there's a lot out there, obviously.
Absolutely. And you know what? The interesting thing is, go to see who's rating these. because you have like the Neurological Society, you have Alzheimer's Society. Those guys are Alzheimer's Association. They're the ones actually that are rating them and saying, hey, we've been tracking these and we've been tracking seniors who are using them. And these are the best ones out there because there are so many. At least you can narrow it down to a couple good top ones, and they're free.
How about some of the other treatments being studied too, Doc? Immunization therapy and cognitive therapy too.
Yeah, you know, the immunization therapy I think is kind of fascinating. We're looking at that with cancer. We're looking at that with a whole bunch of diseases. Can we convince the body's immune system to fight off something that's causing a problem? So they're looking at saying, well, if our problem is that we're making too much amyloid, can we teach the body that amyloid is foreign and attack it? So trying to teach the body to slow down the progression or to stop the progression of it is one way, which is it's fascinating if it comes to fruition.
And there's apps for this too, right?
For the cognitive portion of it, there absolutely is. You know, and like we were saying just a minute ago, the cognitive portion and using luminosity and Happify and those, and reading the paper every day, something to challenge your mind is very important.
There's risk factors that are out there. I almost hesitate to ask you to bring these up because I don't want people to jump to the conclusion that therefore I can never do this because it might cause that. And unfortunately, that's what people do. But risk factors that you want to tell people about are what?
Well, you know, probably the biggest risk factor, unfortunately, is for all of us because you have a brain. So, you know, if you have a brain.
So if you don't have a brain, you're in good shape on this one.
Absolutely. So there's probably a few people you and I know that probably don't have a risk for this.
Yep.
But really it is. And the other risk factors and the other things that people have to realize is don't worry about some of the myths. You know, drinking out of aluminum cans, people said, oh, that calls. No, there's been numerous studies that have shown that that isn't. Dental fillings, that there's been numerous studies that show that that isn't. But really, there's not a lot that you can do. You can do some dietary stuff to eat more healthy. And like you said, you know, anything that's going to make your heart better will also make your brain better because of the blood flow to the brain.
So a lot of it's common sense. Take better care of yourself. You have less chance of getting all sorts of sick, including this.
Yeah. And I think probably one of the bigger thing is, you know, helping people identify people early on with Alzheimer's. You know, what are you looking for? You know, you're looking for memory loss in people that disrupts their daily life. You're looking at people that can't solve simple problems that they used to, that they can't do a simple task at home that they used to be able to do, that they're confused with time or place, that they misplace something and they can't find it and they can't retrace their steps. Because we want to identify these individuals because, to be honest with you, we talk about the numbers. This is very, very, very underreported.
Last question, and certainly it affects everybody on this show. Lack of sleep a factor?
We don't think so. You know, lack of sleep is obviously going to affect a lot of things, and it can affect your heart, but there's no signs that say that lack of sleep is going to make Alzheimer's worse. Unfortunately, people that have Alzheimer's do end up with lack of sleep, and they end up restless, and that's part of their problem. They'll get up in the middle of the night with a loved one who's trying to watch them sleeping and end up having a fall and hit their head, break their hip, and that's sometimes the cause of death in many patients with Alzheimer's.
And Benadryl and some of these other myths that are out there, just stay off the Internet.
Stay off the Internet, yep. And I'll tell you, you know, Steve, like you said, we've known about this disease for 110 years, but all the research has really been done in the last 20. When I was in medical school, we used to call this pre-senile dementia. We didn't call it Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Alzheimer's, is that specific or is that like arthritis where it's an umbrella term for a bunch of different dementias?
No, it's specific.
It's specific.
You know, there's many different types of dementia, but Alzheimer's is specific for those that have the amyloid and tau proteins that are causing this disruption.
And there is a hereditary component of it to some extent, but that obviously needs more study as well. Alzheimer's Association of America, best place to donate?
Absolutely. Great place to donate. And more importantly, so many people are impacted by this. It's a great resource. Go there. You can learn about the disease. You can learn about the support systems that are out there. You can learn about how to make your house safer with someone with Alzheimer's. So it's not so much as a donation, although Bill Gates making this donation and making this investment is just another way that we can use the media for awareness. We need more money for Alzheimer's. If you look at how much money is spent in the research for cancer, in the research for HIV, those are much multiples of what is spent in Alzheimer's.
Yeah. It's out of balance.
It's wrong.
ALZ.org. ALZ.org. Thank you, man. I appreciate the extra time.
You got it. We'll talk to you later.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Get a tray for these two great big important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. A toast.
A toast. A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
Does anyone have any money? Do you have any money? We don't have any money. Got a little bit of money? Keep an eye on your money. While we don't have any money, we sure like to sing.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need
money. Jordan Goodman's got a whole bunch of money. He's not going to give you his money, but he'll tell you how to keep more of yours and make more at moneyanswers.com. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be with you.
Nice to talk to you. All right, this tax plan, whatever it turns out to be, of what you've seen so far, it's very difficult, I think, for us and for most people to figure out, well, am I going to zero out on this thing? Am I going to end up in the negative? What do we know?
High-income people are going to do really well. People in high-tax states are going to do really badly. And corporations are going to do really, really well, putting it very simply.
And high-income starts where?
Well, I would say 200,000 plus.
Okay.
And the more you make, the more you save, basically.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
The vast majority of this tax cuts go to higher income people. 500,000, a million make the most. And corporations, where the rates would go down from 35% to 20%. Now, yesterday there was a big wrench thrown into the whole system here, which is that Rand Paul insisted and apparently got that they're trying to take out the individual mandate for Obamacare as part of the tax bill. That just came in yesterday, and that may upset the entire apple cart, because basically that would mean 13 million people would lose their health insurance because they wouldn't have to have health insurance anymore. And so health care premiums would go up roughly 10%, if not more, because you'd have a lot of people not in the pool anymore. The reason they're doing this, I mean, they want to get rid of it anyway because they never got to repeal and replace Obamacare, but the reason they're doing it is by doing that, the federal government would save about $300 billion over 10 years because they wouldn't have to pay for the subsidies because a lot of these people wouldn't have insurance. They're using that money to try to lower tax rates. The numbers in this thing just don't add up, Steve, but they're trying it. That one came out of the blue yesterday, and maybe it'll help it get through, but I think some of the Republicans in the Senate, McCain, Murkowski, and Collins particularly, may not go for that, and then if they don't get those three, it doesn't make it through the
Senate. Well, we know trickle down didn't work in the 80s. What's changed where it'll work now?
Well, Trump is running everything, so whatever he says is going to work, basically, by the nature of it.
I'm going to need something more confidence building than that.
He has the best numbers. Come on.
He does have a bunch of numbers. Yeah.
No, I was at a conference yesterday talking about this, and they said that the numbers just don't add up in various ways. I mean, what they're assuming is that under the absolute rosiest of economic scenarios, we would add $1.5 trillion to the deficit in the next 10 years. And that's the incredibly rosy scenario, which is the tax cuts create a huge amount of economic growth. This is the so-called dynamic scoring they talk about. So under the best of circumstances, we still add $1.5 trillion to the deficit. If it doesn't turn out to be so rosy, then we add a lot more to the deficit, basically, is what happens.
All right, so as we go forward on this thing, there's got to be a Senate and House bill that agree, and then Trump has to sign it. We know he's not going to read it. We know he's not going to understand it. But whatever comes out of both houses has to agree. Have you seen any reason that'll happen?
It's possible. There's a tremendous pressure on them because the Republicans haven't passed anything all year.
Mm-hmm.
And if this goes down in flames, they'll have nothing going into next year's elections, and they may lose big time. So there's a huge pressure on them. Now, tomorrow, the full House is going to vote, and I think very likely will pass it. And then it's in the Senate's hands, and they're supposed to try to get this done by Christmas. It's going to be really difficult, and what just happened yesterday with the getting rid of the individual mandate is going to make it even more complicated to do this thing. I'm putting the odds right now about 40% that this is actually going to get through.
What's it done to the markets? What will it do to the markets?
Well, the markets have been up dramatically this year in anticipation of the taxes going through, because particularly for corporations, that's where most of the benefit is happening. When rates go from 35% to 20% on big companies, and then individuals, subchapter S and LLC companies, would be 25% instead of current tax rates of 40% or higher, that's where a lot of the benefits are going. So the stock market goes up in anticipation of that. The big question is, when companies, say this goes through, Steve, and companies have this additional profit, what are they going to do with it? There's three things they can do with it. They can buy back their own stock, they can raise dividends and executive compensation, and they can plow it back into the business. So some will plow it back into the business and new plants and equipment and hire people and do R&D and all kinds of wonderful things. But I think a lot of the money is going to go to buying back stock and raising dividends, which is great for stockholders, but it doesn't help everybody out there. So that's there's no restrictions on what the companies do with it once they have these additional profits.
Yeah, and it's a political lie in an effort to get something done. So this is not a middle-class tax.
Again, I was at this conference with these top people yesterday. I said, is there any evidence that when you lower tax rates and companies are more profitable, that they increase wages? And they said, none. It's just not the way the world works. The top executives of the company say, oh, we just got this windfall. Let's hand it out in higher wages. You hand out higher wages because there's competition for labor that you need. And that's what you have to pay people, not because you got a cut in your taxes.
No, you're going to run your business as efficiently as you can.
Yeah.
All right, so we appreciate all that, regardless of how bad news it may be. but let's get into the personal finance end of this when we come back. It's moneyanswers.com. Where would you like to start when we come back?
Earning something on your money.
Earning something, it seems crazy.
That would be a good idea.
That's
loony. Keeping the bank, you get zero.
Cuckoo talk. How do you get money back on your money? Jordan Goodman will explain. MoneyAnswers.com is where you go in the meantime and anytime to learn more about your money. And the big story is coming up next with that special series continued from under it.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need.
Back with Jordan Goodman. MoneyAnswers.com. So, Jordan, if I have a dollar and I'd like it to make another dollar and I bury it in the backyard, that's just about as good as anything else that's out there right now, isn't it?
Well, with the bank, yeah, I agree with you. You're getting pretty much zero on CDs, money market funds, savings accounts. The Fed Reserve is going to raise rates again in December. But what that means is they're raising rates on what you pay on credit cards, car loans, and student loans, but not what you earn. The banks feel no compunction whatsoever to raise what they're paying on deposits because people just sit there like a lump and earn nothing, basically.
So how do we make money?
So there is a solution which has been very popular with your listeners, which is a way of earning 6% safely over 1 year, which are called commercial mortgage bridge loans. There's a website for that, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. They got a phone number, too, 888-518-3113. So if you do it for 1 year, you get 6%. 2 years, you get 7 to 8%. And 3 years, 9%.
And that's
what
guaranteed?
What they're doing is they're lending money to commercial real estate projects over a short time frame, a year or so, to renovate or improve themselves one way or the other. The maximum that they're lending against the property is 65% of the value of the property. So there's a big what I call equity cushion there. And the result is you end up getting 6%. It's not traded. It doesn't go up, doesn't go down. And a year later, you get your money back, and you can do it again. And lots of your listeners have done that because they like to get 6% instead of zero in this world.
But that's a guarantee of 6?
I wouldn't use the word guarantee. That's kind of FDIC territory, but it's extremely secure. But, yes, that's what they've been paying for a long time, 6% over 1 year.
And as long as you've been involved with it, you haven't seen it go below the number that
no,
they
it'll
like
never at. Go below 6. Never yeah. go below 6.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well, that's about 6 more than you're getting right now.
I would say so. So that's on the conservative side, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. And let's go to the other side. Let's go to the aggressive side, okay? So I think I've mentioned before NVIDIA, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I first mentioned that, it was about 100, something like that, I guess it was. Now it's about 215, something
yep.
like that.
Yep, yep.
They just came out with earnings earlier this week, just spectacular. They are in all of the fastest-growing parts of the economy. Gaming, like the new Nintendo Switch, data centers, cloud computing, driverless cars, artificial intelligence, cryptocurrency. You name it, they've got the chips for all of them.
Right.
And that has been a fantastic stock, and I think it's going to keep going up. NVDA is the symbol on that one.
And I invested in it. Thank you for that.
I think you're probably double from what you were whenever you got into it.
A little more than that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. And you want another really hot one?
Sure, absolutely.
So Overstock.com, which is, you think of them as like selling off kind of the overstock of
giant rummage sale.
Big online rummage sale. They have a division called the Medici division, which is doing the internet backbone for all of the cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. And people are just finding out about this. The stock in August was about 17. Last I looked, it's about 56.
Holy cow.
What's the... like what, a hockey stick.
But what's the company called?
Overstock.
Oh, it's Overstock stock.
O-S-T-K. And it's not rising at all because of the Overstock part. It's all because of the cryptocurrency stuff. So it's kind of an indirect way of playing Bitcoin. So obviously it's volatile day to day. Last week it went up 30% in one day. It's just been an absolute hockey stick.
A little more risk, but a little more return. Jordan doesn't throw these out lightly.
But I'm trying to give you things that are super hot and then something that's super conservative. We get a little bit of each that way. And I think you'll do better than keeping your money in the bank.
Okay, speaking of conservative, Jordan, if you have a 401k, can you still open an IRA or a Roth IRA? And explain the difference again between the Roth IRA and the traditional one.
So the Roth is the money you put in after-tax dollars, and it grows tax-free forever. So when you take it out in retirement, there's no tax on whatever gain you've had. A traditional IRA, you put it in, you may or may not get a deduction depending on your income, but you may get somewhat of a deduction. But the main thing is it's growing tax-deferred, and when you take the money out, you're going to pay tax on the gains. You know, you've had been growing many years tax-deferred. If you can do a Roth, that's better. Tax-free is always better than tax-deferred. You can put it up to $5,500 if you're under age 50, up to $6,500 if you're over age 50.
It has to come out of current income. $5,500 per year?
Per year,
okay.
Correct.
By the way, it's a lot of people always ask, and I know they ask you off the air, but the commercial mortgage bridge loans, what's the minimum to get in?
$25,000 to get into that.
Okay.
But there's no commissions. You put in $25,000. And you get the 6% on the full $25,000.
And so, the NVIDIA, the minimum is the stock price.
Yes.
Yeah,
about $215,000, something like that.
Dave's got a question. When we come back, let's do traffic first. Here's Mary. Jordan Goodman, MoneyAnswers.com. Dave, what's your question for Jordan?
Jordan, as the father of a couple of millennials, what's a good way for them when they don't have enough money to do the commercial real estate bridge loans? What's a good way for them to dip their toe in the market if they're just getting started?
Hold on, Jordan. I'm sorry. I had you on the wrong position here in my technical stuff.
I'm still here. Yep.
All right. So did you hear the question?
Yeah, I did. I was just saying like an index fund would just be a simple thing to do. You could do like a Vanguard, T. Rowe Price, Fidelity, any of the index funds, which is matching the S&P 500. I mean, that tends to beat most other mutual funds with very low costs over a long period of time. If you can't even do the mutual fund, you could do a stock, which is SPY, which is the S&P 500 in a stock, which is about $25 a share, something like that. So just get them started, Dave, and kind of get them moving in the thing.
Yeah.
Once they have a good experience, they want to do more.
Right, and then eventually they turn into their own Bill Gates and they stop returning your phone calls except
exactly.
for the holidays.
That's my biggest fear.
They'll give you a loan, Dave.
I'm counting on it, George.
NVDA, a lot of people asking about NVIDIA. Again, NVDA, yeah.
That's the symbol for it, right? And Overstock is OSTK. Correct.
Okay. Don't say that OSTK thing too often until I buy.
I want to do something briefly on saving money for first responders and veterans, if we can.
Do
it. We just had Veterans Day. So there's a program called Heroes Come First.
Okay.
And if you are a hero, and I would count you as a hero, Steve.
Thanks,
everybody
yeah.
The studio
yeah,
is actually a hero. Yeah, yeah, but officially, yeah. A hero is a first responder, military, either retired or active duty, doctors, fire, police, school teachers, all, you know, service professionals.
Sure, basically. The real heroes.
The real heroes. They can get huge discounts on mortgages. Like points and lower closing costs, all those kind of things. They can actually get rebates on the real estate agent's commission when they buy a home or when they sell a home and literally save thousands of dollars if they're considered a hero. And the website for that is heroescomefirst.com.
So they got frequent hero bonus program?
Frequent hero bonus, exactly.
Yeah.
I love the way you put it.
Yeah.
They have a phone number too, 800-272-5626. And, you know, we say thank you for your service. That's nice. But this is actually giving them money in their pocket, so that's a lot better. And it's a relatively new program, and these people don't often get acknowledged financially. And as long as you qualify as a hero, and, you know, anybody, you're in a doctor's office and you're a nurse or something, you still qualify as a hero. So there's lots of heroes in your audience that could save a lot of money when buying or selling a home or getting or refinancing a mortgage.
And, again, that is? What's the hookup there?
HeroesComeFirst.com.
Okay.
Or 800-272-5626. I love to help your audience. I do.
Well, and we love that you do. Credit card bubble, the student loan bubble, I mean, part of the tax plan makes student loans harder to pay back.
Would not be deductible anymore. That is correct.
All right. So why don't we give student loan folks some help?
Okay. So if you have student loans, the average has got $38,000 these days. You can refinance your student loans to about 2 to 3%, depending on your situation, but something in that range, as opposed to 5 or 6% on regular loans, 10% on private loans. Combine them all into one at a lower interest rate. A place to do that is called Credible. And so you go to credible.com, and then you just put /moneyanswers. They know it's me. That way you get $200 off your first payment that way. They've also got a phone number, 855-870-6005. And Credible actually doesn't do the lending themselves. It's like a platform that has 5 or 6 different lenders, and then you pick whatever the best deal for you. So you have different people competing to refinance your loan to 2 to 3%.
Jordan has made you money today. Somebody just said SPY, S-P-Y, is $257 a share.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's little higher than we thought.
It is, but it's at least to get you in. That's the index for all these Standard & Poor's 500.
Yeah, and if you Google index funds, you're going to get a whole cornucopia of options there.
Absolutely.
What's the symbol for cornucopia?
C-O-R-N-U.
Mm, you got it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, corn you. Moneyanswers.com. Check out everything Jordan Goodman has there.
I love
for
to
resources.
Take emails from your questions, your audience.
From the audience, yeah.
I answer them all.
You're ridiculous.
I am ridiculous.
I know you do. He does. Really does. Moneyanswers.com. Thank you, Jordan. Back with the news next. And Dean, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
Live at Channel 9, there's Dean.
Hello.
See, told you.
Here I am.
Hey, next Tuesday, this show will be live from the Museum of Broadcast Communications for the Saturday Night Live exhibit. We'll do the show from the Weekend Update desk.
Cool.
Where I became famous co-hosting with Chevy Chase.
Right. I remember when
I was
you used
14.
To say Jane, you
I was Jane, slut. The ignorant slut.
Oh, the-
yeah. It's a role I played. I did most of Jane Curtin's stunt work in the original Saturday Night Live.
A lot of people don't remember that.
No. Well, I was 14. We have tickets, but you have to be able to show up. And the only way you're going to get in, and I can't begin to tell you how cool this is, because you get in, you get to see the Saturday Night Live experience with no one else there other than the people at the show. And we're only letting 50 people into this deal.
It's like a private, your own private show.
50, 50,
that's wow. It.
That's pretty exclusive.
That is exclusive. Saturday Night Live, the experience, plus you get the live show, and I'm going to whip up a little something special for breakfast in my pajamas.
If I showed up, would I be able to get in?
Nope, not unless you win tickets. You got to win tickets. Oh. Yeah, that's the only way to get in. It's next Tuesday from 6 to 10 at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Even though I'm really kind of part of the show, I still wouldn't be able to get in.
I don't like your chances. 312-981-7200 is the number, but there's no reason to call unless you can go. All right, are we clear? Okay. Seventh caller.
Hang on, I got to make a phone call.
I see the headline, People's Sexiest Man Alive, and I think his Skilling won again.
Congratulations, Steve.
Oh, it's me this year.
This was your 30th consecutive year of not being chosen.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, not only, let me tell you how consistent I am, not only not being chosen, never on the list.
32nd year, actually, now that I'm looking at the list, 32nd year that Steve has not been chosen.
Nowhere near the list.
Sexiest
In all
man alive.
Fairness, though, you don't know that you're not on the list, right?
Yeah, you know. You just have a feeling.
Oh,
so am I on the list? Nah, I'm not on the list. No. Skilling, is he the guy? Is he the guy? Did Skilling win again?
Skilling also did not make the cut.
He's 0-32 as well?
I'm afraid, which leaves
What about
me,
you?
Leaves me out, too, because all three of us look alike.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
If
that's
one true. Of us is out, all three of us are out.
Is it Steve?
I don't know how they
is it
pick,
Steve
like,
Buscemi?
Oh, jeez. Steve.
It's not Steve Buscemi this year. That would be a good choice, though.
I think so. All right. Well, who is People's Sexiest Man Alive? I know it's not Trump.
It is not the president, nor any of his cabinet that made it in this year.
Oh, I bet it's Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary.
He's a hottie, but apparently they didn't quite make it. This year, it goes to Blake Shelton.
Okay, have we run out of people?
Country star Blake Shelton.
Have we run out of men?
Let's ask the women. Starting
with
that's
you. That's what Blake Shelton said
right.
when he heard that he won. He said,
"Oh, really?
Have they run out of people? And that's why they chose me."
I mean, no offense, but
you're not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
Do you find him sexy?
No.
All right, Vanderbilt, sexy? Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton?
Yeah.
No.
Sandberg, wow. Sexy or not? Your thumb does me no good on the radio. Come out and you're on the phone. Okay.
What, did she give you a thumbs up?
She gave me a thumbs up. She says yes, you're sexy.
She's screaming very loudly.
I don't
and says
get
yes.
it. I mean, if you like that kind of haggard, unshaven, your shirt's untucked.
Careful, you just described my daily
wardrobe.
Yes, I
know. I don't mean you.
That's
course.
Actually me dressed up.
Yeah, I like rugged and everything, but I don't know. He just sometimes when he talks, it's just not.
When
that
what's
sexy.
His name had to teach him how to eat, they took him to a fancy restaurant and they were just teaching him what fork to use. I'm like, you're a grown man.
Like Adam Levine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I guess they have this feudy thing going on. Shelton says the best part of being named sexiest man alive is that he can rub it in the face. He didn't say rub it in the face. He said something a little more. Not graphic than that. He said, but he can rub it in the face of Adam Levine.
Adam Levine says he's his best friend.
I don't think Adam is sexy. He's too skinny and pointy-faced.
Wait, did he already get it, Adam Levine? He was. He was last year.
2013.
2013,
oh,
yeah.
3 years.
So
Blake
I'm an
is
equal
very handsome.
I'm an equal opportunity. I don't get it with both of them.
Hmm. I like Blake. His waist is probably like a 36.
Mine
he's really
too.
Tall. He's got big hands.
Actually, mine's at 36 with 6'5". To be continued on it.
He's 6'5". Yep. Yeah. He sings songs about being in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't both Blake and Adam Levine look like they just really need to go take a shower?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think Blake looks like that at all. He's a country boy.
Isn't
I want him to be a little bit dirty.
Good hygiene in the country.
But I was going to say, isn't he one, Dean, that is of the Russell Crowe mentality?
All the women
Matthew
you can get?
Matthew McConaughey. No, I didn't use deodorant.
I have not personally sniffed him.
Okay.
But I'll make that a professional goal.
Okay. I do know I've dropped my feud with his future ex-wife, Gwen Stefani. Remember, for years I've told you.
Why did you drop the feud?
I just got tired of it.
Oh, come on, Steve. Gwen Stefani was grudge holders in the business.
Yeah, Gwen Stefani, terrible. She's a terrible person.
Then you won't like the quote that's on the cover of the magazine.
Which is?
Gwen and I couldn't be more different, but nothing's ever worked better.
Oh, okay.
Gag.
My favorite
I just coughed up Blake Shelton.
My favorite quote out of this whole thing came from Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who was last year's People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive. And he said, let's all just take a moment to recognize that I will always be the sexiest man alive. Your 6'5", 260-pound, tattooed, brown-eyed soul. And clearly there's lots of steamy cheese on this pizza I'm serving.
Here's the thing about The Rock, God. And you know him, I don't. But I think he's starting to believe the hype. I've seen him on talk shows and stuff recently, and I feel like he's changing and not for the better. Am I wrong?
I think he's all takes it all tongue in cheek. I think he's joking with him.
I hope so. I don't want to have to sit him down and have a talk with him. How about Annette? Did Annette make the list?
No, sadly, none of us made the list this year. Right.
Thanks for singling me out.
How about Mancow? Did Mancow make the list?
No. No, he did not. He's very busy.
How about his son, Boycow? Did Boycow make the list?
He's been very busy with his lawyers lately.
Did you hear about that? We're not going to go into this too deeply because why give the guy the publicity? But Mancow now is supposedly suing his new boss.
For emotional distress. If that was the case for a radio personality, Steve would be richer than Bill Gates.
I've had 30 years of emotional distress. But yeah, he's claiming that Marv Nirin, who fired him at Q101, who's now his new boss again, is giving him so much distress he's physically ill. When I say it's just the people that listen to his show.
Yeah.
At 8:18, we're going to come back. Here's the rest of the list. Rose McGowan, Harvey Weinstein, Bryan Cranston, Kevin Spacey. What do all these people have in common? I don't know.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Dean, we got these Saturday Night Live exhibit tickets
that I can't have.
And we got somebody on the phone who is, I don't know anybody more deserving. Is this Laura?
This is Laura. Hi.
All right, Laura. Let's listen to what Laura's done recently. Laura, talk about the GN stuff you've been to recently.
Okay. I saw Dean on Sunday at Tree Time.
Oh, yep. Boy.
And I saw Bill and Wendy at Tree Time.
Okay.
And I saw Steve and John and the whole gang at Zany's. Whoa. And plus when you had your pulmonary embolism and couldn't come out to Arlington Park, I still went there.
Very nice.
And saw John and Andrea.
Thank you for that.
Stand-up.
Thank you.
And what else did I do? Oh, yeah. Jen Wagle, saw her show.
You know,
And Dean, I did see yours 3 years in a row, by the way.
And I'm not planning on any more pulmonary embolisms going forward, but...
Steve, I don't know, you should reconsider that. It was a pretty big hit.
It was. Less Steve, more fun. But you absolutely are invited. I look forward to seeing you next Tuesday.
Thank you. I'll be there.
Excellent. Who are you going to bring with you?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe my sister?
Okay, if you like her. No, that'll be great.
which part of my show at Tree Time did you enjoy most last Sunday?
Wait, well, maybe she didn't enjoy anything.
Criticizing Elton Jim.
Criticizing Elton Jim. That's very funny. Funnier than you might even know, Laura. All right, hold on.
You know, it is funny because I had someone say to me over the weekend, too, oh, yeah, that was funny. Elton Jim thinks that's funny, right? Dean's kidding, right? I went, oh, no.
Elton Jim's still trying to get Dean to travel around the globe with him.
Right.
It's very odd. Rose McGowan, I don't understand this story. Why is she in trouble?
She has had a warrant out for her arrest for several months now because they found traces of narcotics on her personal items when she was traveling through an airport. They found traces of cocaine. So she actually turned herself in yesterday to authorities because there was a warrant out for her arrest on cocaine possession charges.
Is this an ongoing thing? Is it related to the timing of why she's been in the news lately?
Well, she says that all of this is an attempt to silence her because she really was one of the very first to talk about sexual harassment with regard to Harvey Weinstein. So, you know, she says that, you know, the moguls in Hollywood, the powers in Hollywood are out to get her now because she was among those who took Harvey Weinstein down as a result of that. That said, they found traces of narcotics on her personal items. So, you know, unless somebody planted them there, you know, there was that. So, but she, you know, this arrest warrant's been out for several months now. So, but she... She turned herself in yesterday. So
she seems to be in a bit of a hot mess now. I mean, she got people in her world that you're aware of that are helping take care of herself?
I do not know if that's the case or not. I would hope so. She does seem to be, you know, sort of all over the place with charges and things that she said and things that she's done. I'm not questioning any of the things that, whether they're truthful or not, but they do seem to be a little bit erratic.
Yeah, and the stress she has is certainly understandable considering the circumstances, but I hope she's taking care of herself.
Yeah, me too.
Harvey Weinstein story.
There was another allegation that was made against him yesterday, this one with a pretty big consequence because this accuser is actually suing him of assault and battery. The actress's name was not revealed. In this lawsuit, she says that she was invited to Harvey Weinstein's hotel room back in 2015 to discuss a movie role where he proceeded to expose and fondle himself in front of her.
Listen, for those of you who might be new listeners to the show, I haven't understood this from the minute I first heard it. And here's a bulletin for all men again. Women don't want to see that.
Right.
Ever.
And from the woman's POV? Completely agree. Backing that up.
It's just unbelievable. All right.
Gilbert Gottfried in an interview said, I'm old school. I like to do it in private.
That's good. It's just the most ridiculous fetish. Anyway, continue.
Well, so he does that, and then a year later, she meets him again in the same hotel, goes up to his room again after that.
It's a bad idea.
And claims that she was raped. Weinstein's attorneys are denying all of the allegations. More than 50 women now say that they have been harassed or assaulted by Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, I mean, look, the guy had so much power. Brad Pitt and Gwyneth Paltrow kept going back to work for him after he more than hit on her. I guess it's not even fair to judge it again, but you hurt your credibility if you go back to the scene of the crime that's about to be committed.
I don't understand. There have been several cases of several different people who have been accused where assault or harassment has taken place after it's already happened once or twice previously. If that happened, I don't think I would ever even want to meet with that person. I don't care what kind of job they might have.
Well, especially if you're a single female. Yeah. I don't know.
Exactly.
You saw Justice League last night?
I did. I can't give you a full review just yet.
So this isn't a review?
It's not. It's not, Steve, because I wouldn't review a movie except on its day of opening. Mm-hmm. The fact that I left the theater last night in a great mood, you can take that however you want.
Yeah. I mean, that could have been anything. Could have been a phone call from a friend.
A particularly delicious Twizzler. Could have been a lot of things.
Yeah.
Which is going to be the name of my autobiography, by the way.
Delicious
a particularly
Twizzlers?
Delicious Twizzler.
Hi, I'm Dean Richards.
I left feeling like I had seen quite a bit of action in the movie that
good for you.
That I enjoyed, balanced with a good sense of humor, but not over the top. Like the Marvel movies lately have been, I mean, they're like comedy movies pretty much. This one, I think, is just a little more balanced. So I got to say, I enjoyed it. I saw it on an IMAX screen as well. And those IMAX screens are really impressive. For movies like this, really impressive.
I got one in my double wide in East St. Louis.
I know it. That's where I first saw. I remember seeing, what was it, Mrs. Robinson, The Graduate?
It was Mrs. Robinson Graduates. It was one. Yeah, they didn't say. Now, here's the thing. Now, our friend John DeCoste is here. Now, John, you're an old movie buff. You love old movies.
I do.
You were telling me off the air, speaking of Justice League, about a Batman serial, S-E-R-I-A-L,
correct,
that was big in the 40s?
Yeah, they had three of Rocket Man, Superman, Green Hornet, and the Batman. It's
but
called
wait,
The Batman.
Wait do you hear what the Batman's mode of transportation was?
Yeah, and it always cracks me up because we talk about how their budgets have gone up. So at that time, he did not have a Batmobile. He drove around with Robin in Bruce Wayne's car. And they got by with it by saying that Bruce lent it to him.
But he would be in the bat suit.
He would be in the bat suit.
In a Studebaker.
In a Studebaker.
Yeah, they would just get in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Bruce Wayne.
So, like, if Batman were.
Borrow it.
So, like, in the next Batman, will he take an Uber?
Yeah, it would be great.
Well, in 48, they switched to a Schwinn.
Okay. Well, of course they did. You know why? It was faster.
Yeah.
Actor Typhoon. By the name of Robert Lowry was Batman Bruce Wayne in that series.
Yes. Right.
He went on to be sexiest man alive, and it all comes full circle.
In 1949.
Yeah. In a wool suit.
Was between him and Marlena Dietrich.
And good luck to all of our friends, friend Pat Tomasuo.
Oh, yeah.
And his new Saturday night Channel 9 show debuting when?
It's January, or early January.
Sorry. And it's a late night Saturday night show called?
Yeah, it's going to be Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Starting, they don't have a date here. It just says late January. But it's called Man of the People with Pat Tomasuo.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. I don't even know if Paul Rennie or anybody in management knows he's doing this. But you know, once you announce a show, you got to produce it.
They made the announcement with he was riding a horse in the newsroom this morning.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, he always was subtle.
Yeah.
He wasn't following the horse with like a bucket and a broom.
Jeff Hoover's on the other side of the studio goes, I got to get a horse.
I was sitting here, you know, writing some stories while Pat was bringing the horse into the newsroom, and I look up at the TV monitor, and there's a horse. I see there's a horse like 50 feet away from me, behind me. And I don't know if you know this. I am like EpiPen allergic to horses.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If I went near a horse or something, I could go into,
is that right?
Like super dangerous territory with my allergy with that.
Wow.
So after they made the announcement, I said, what Einstein thought it would be a good idea to bring a horse in the newsroom without warning us
right
first.
Oh,
Like, you could have sent me to the emergency room with that.
Maybe that was the goal.
And people think this job is easy.
All right. Well, good luck to Pat and good luck to Dean's respiratory system.
Turned out I lived. See you tomorrow.
8:34, big story next. What are you doing this time?
Roy Moore.
Coach Q coming up after the big story on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
The home of Coach Q, right here on the Steve Cochran Show. Sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. An American institution. Hawks and Rangers tonight. The Rangers got off to an awful start. Now they can't lose. I'd suggest heavy checking tonight. See if we can get some of that on us as Coach Q joins us now. How's that for a plan, Coach?
Not bad. Not bad idea.
Yeah, they're hot right now.
Yes, they are. They're on fire. You look at their lineup, and they got four really good lines. You can say which is their first, second, third, and fourth, and they all have a purpose. They all can score. They're fast. They're quick. They're deep up front. Their back end's got balance, and you got Lundqvist and Nett, so pretty complete group.
No worries on Crawford shaking off the other night, right? He's had a phenomenal year, and he just had a bad night.
Crow's been unbelievable for us this year, and I think that consistency that we're getting from our goaltending, and particularly him, has been, it keeps us in every single game, gives us a chance to win every single night, and we've been fortunate that's been the one consistency of our game, because we feel we can be better in other areas, but Crow's kept us in where we've had some games where it could have been a little bit distance. Carolina game was nice to see Forsberg get his first win as well.
Right.
The goaltending situation's been we've been very happy with it.
Looks like the penalty kill has been pretty strong. Maybe not so great in the last game, but penalty kill's been pretty strong consistently. Scoring on the power play, though, can't seem to find the back of the net, even though the goals are up.
We'll say that's probably been the one area that we're coming off a game when we've had we got a two in one night, so maybe that's the turning of the power play being more confident, more productive. We've certainly got some different looks and get some different personnel as well, because it wasn't as effective as we had liked. But I still think we have all the ingredients of having a tremendous power play and with that personnel. And, we get in the zone well. We get some guys that can win draws. And now let's get a little greasier and think that the net front in that area is where the rewards are. And let's look to cash in that area.
As Steve mentioned, the penalty kill, which has generally been good this year, and it was something we were talking about this time last year as being a problem area against this New York Rangers team. They got one of the best power plays, especially in this winning streak, where they have been, I think they're 8 of 19 on the power play during the 6-game winning streak. Does it become even more critical, to not take bad penalties, or to make sure you maintain what you've done on the penalty kill to this point?
Well, we got to make sure that we don't want to take any penalties. Obviously, you have to kill a couple anyways, but that's usually 2 to 3 is always, we look at that as a quota. Mm-hmm. But against a team like that that's really thrived on their power play to win games, and they've got some good personnel. They've got a lot of patience on it. They've got a lot of guys that got good play recognition, got some shooters, got some different looks, and so that's the one area we want to make sure that we don't want to put them out there as often as they'd like, and then let's make sure that that pressure, be it off entries and in zone, is a little better than it was last game.
It feels different, right? I mean, it feels different. The last couple of games have felt different. Felt like you're shaking it off, getting it going. Does it feel different over there?
I would say the last 4 or 5 games, there's probably been 30 to 40 minutes in a game where we like everything we're seeing. And then we have that tendency to, and it shouldn't even be a tendency, but we have stretches where we, how we manage the puck, we're not as good with it. We turn pucks over. We should be stronger in that area. And then we'd have the puck a little bit more. We'd be creating a little bit more, making them defend, is what we're all about. If we could do that for 60 minutes complete, that start we had the other night against New Jersey was exactly how we wanted to play. There was 30, 40 minutes in the Carolina game, Philly as well. So there's some positives there. We feel there's some speed to our team when we're playing like that, when we do have possession of the puck and we do whether we just sustain the puck a little bit more, put it in an area where we got a better chance to get it than them as part of our game. Let's make sure that we keep it a lot more, and if we do that, it kind of plays into our strengths.
Joe, what are you looking to see from Ryan Hartman?
Hartsey, I think Hartsey gives us some ability to be around the net, being disruptive. He can make plays in tight. He can do things with the puck in those areas there. It'll be hard to play against. Know the boundaries of how they watch him, how the game's being officiated is part of it as well. Just make sure that he can draw penalties, but let's.
Nope, where is him?
He's gone.
Line clipped. Ah, boy. You know what that is. Henrik Lundqvist. Lundqvist messing with our phone lines, getting ready for tonight. Well, Ghost in the machine with our phone line, but we have Coach Q back, and he was in the middle of... were you in the middle, or was he in the middle?
He was in the middle, but...
Coach, you were making a brilliant point. Do you remember what your brilliant point was?
No. Because it wasn't brilliant.
That was pretty good. It was pretty good. Were you a little melancholy yesterday after the final practice at Johnny's Ice House before you move into the new MB Arena tomorrow?
I'm going to look at it like excited because we went from there and had a tour of our new facility at MB. Oh my God, what a building! But it was nice. We've had great memories over there for 7 years, but that excitement of going over to the new place and then seeing it with everybody yesterday, the wow factor was off the charts. Knowing that there's no other practice rink like it around the league, and whether you're spoiled or how you want to look at it, it has everything you'd ever want and more. So everybody's excited about it, and I'm looking forward to getting in our first practice there tomorrow as well.
I got to tell you, the resources for the Hawks, can't be touched by anybody in the league. And that new building, Coach, I know you're not out picking up will call tickets before a game.
On the atrium?
But the new building and the atrium for fans is fantastic. And the architects just did a really nice job.
Yeah, they've done a tremendous job, Rocky John. You look at the way they keep the United Center second to none in the building. As far as you come into this building, it looks like it's brand new every single year. They're doing things to keep it fresh and has that look that the expansion of the offices and the atrium, like you say, and the store in there. And it's you got the wow factor from outside looking at the building as well. And you got the Bulls across the street, ours just down the street. It's got everything you need right around here, and it's done a great job in the community as well.
Plus, from my standpoint, the good news is, you're in the dressing room, you're downstairs, you're on the ice. You don't have to go over to the office side now at all. They used to be in the same building. You can avoid all the guys in the office now. Just work on the hockey. That's all you need to do.
Well, we're always talking or thinking hockey around here, and
that seems right.
They're around here too. They're around our offices, and everybody's we see them regularly as well. Everybody was around yesterday.
They're all great. I'm just kidding you. You know,
just because you would like that setup.
No, that's
Steve.
My management situation.
That's
it's
what
not
I mean.
Yours. We're friends with everybody over there. But you're a lucky guy, Coach. I don't know you know that, but you're a lucky guy. It's a great organization.
Very fortunate.
Yeah, we're going to be out there tonight. We got the whole morning show coming up tonight.
Talk about the pressure is on that. We better be on tonight.
Yeah. Well, and it's not coming, but he claims he's got to call a Northwestern game. Whatever, Dave.
I would be there.
Coach, get back at it. Have fun and looking forward to a good one tonight against the Rangers.
All right. Thanks, gang.
Thanks. See you. It's Coach Q, sponsored by Hooters.
You had to tell him I'm not coming.
The original win.
I'm glad you explained.
Well, you're working.
Yeah.
You're
I'm working. Glad you said that. Yeah, yeah. Not just that I'm...
Dave,
blowing
you seem
off
to
the
feel
game.
Guilty about blowing off the game. Don't feel guilty. You're working. It's 8:55. CLTV will join us next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Back live in the Showcase Studio, right in Chicago, probably wherever you are as well. Thanks for listening, and we appreciate it for watching on CLTV. Every morning between 9 and 10, Ro and Anna do the same thing on TV between 3 and 4. They will be live at the United Center later. And hope to see you at the United Center as well for the Hawks' big win over the Rangers tonight. I don't know why we even need to play the game. They're going to win. Seems like a formality.
Well, the game is a formality. Yeah. Just the outcome is still to be determined.
So we need to determine a final score.
Okay. That's the key. Are you guaranteeing a win tonight?
Yes, I am.
10-0.
Okay. Well, that's...
Close to that on opening night.
Yeah, we can see 10 goals.
Okay, well, 10 goals would be fine as long as they come from the guys in the red.
Right.
Yeah. Cool story that we wanted to make sure you knew. We've been telling these good stories about people coming up in Chicago and doing something with their college years that really turned into something for the rest of their adult life. But before we get to that, it'll all tie in, trust me. I have a member of the NSA who's coming to arrest all of you, at least a former member of the NSA.
What?
Here in studio is Evan Dornbush. Evan, when were you with the NSA?
I got recruited straight from college, probably back in 2003-ish.
How do they know you're a tremendous code writer? Did they come by with, are there code nerds in the government that go out and recruit?
Yeah, I think there are. For me, I was actually really blessed. There was a program sponsored by the Department of Defense called CyberCore. It was ROTC for computer geeks.
Okay.
Every year, they pay for full tuition, and for every year they do that, you have to commit a year back to government service, so no-brainer.
Got your school paid for, and you are the white hat of white hats because now you can help protect us from the bad guys with the computers. How bad is it? How bad is cyber threat to this country? Is it the number one threat we live under now, more so than everything else?
Well, I think that cyber is how individuals will ultimately affect other things, right? The fear isn't that your computer goes down. It's that the computer that powers the thing that you need, the train, the bridge, the water supply, like those computers are pretty important. And so the water is what's important, but cyber is the enabler. And the problem is complexity. No one has, heck all, any idea of what's going on, and that creates a lot of room for an attacker.
How do you know what's happening before we do? I mean, aside from being good at your job.
People. I think that's, we're in the business, we're hackers, right? But we're in the business of cultivating hacker talent, and it's not a technology problem. You can't spend your way to success with enough blinking green light boxes that just, sit on the floor that no one understands what they're doing. You have to have people to maintain those systems, to grow them, and to understand what's going on your network.
And is this all on the infamous dark web?
No, there's a lot of hype and fear behind something like dark web. But dark web is just another way of saying places where information gathers.
So it could be anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know when you recruit a hacker if they're someone who really wants to fight for good versus evil?
No. But I think most people do, right? There's this perception that hackers are, Bond villains. But to me, I'm a family guy, right? I got a wife and kids. And I think hackers are in the business of solving problems. Give us enough time and, we will overcome anything, including resource constraints. Like that applies to computers, but it also applies to challenges that businesses of all shapes and sizes, oversee every day.
I want to find out about your company, but before we talk about that, I'm going to get Andre in here as well. But the question that I certainly want to know is, what's the television show or movie that most annoy you when you see guys work in computers? It's a huge problem. Huge problem. A guy sits down at the keyboard.
Right.
And suddenly the problem's solved.
He's in.
Well, I think what's worse is when there are videos where multiple people are on the same keyboard, and I think two people on the same keyboard is not twice as fast.
It's like the Italian job where they're like changing signals and
rerouting. 24.
Traffic. How
nukes are approaching? It's Alt-Control-Alt-Delete. Yeah. The nukes are gone now.
All right, how exposed is all of our information, and how easy is it to get to?
So I don't think it's a matter of ease. I think things take time. So the issue really is how motivated is your attacker, right? There's no system that is impregnable. There's no data out there that is inherently secure. And so the approach has been to hide that data as best you can, mm-hmm. prevent access, see, you know, where information is flowing. That is the more important piece. And again, that's why people are the solution to the problem.
So when you go online and say, I mean, we all do it, either online shop or you buy something or you pay your bills. And even if there's a little, the little lock, you know, the HTTPS, are we secure? I'm sure the Equifax is, with the Equifax, the answer is no. But are we secure when we're shopping online?
Yeah, what do you do? What do you do to not have your ID stolen? Yeah.
No different from anyone else, right? I shop online. I think it's fine because, again, in society, right, it's where does the liability fall, right? It's an inconvenience right now, but there's no teeth behind any of those penalties. I'm presuming Equifax gets away with whatever they need, or OPM. You know, it's no different.
You got to live in the world we live in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Point 3 Security. Tell me about the company.
Yeah, so again, we're hackers cultivating hacker talent. I think there's a huge disconnect between what employers need, how human resources identifies that talent, and how academia prepares that talent. And I think from a cybersecurity perspective, that means organizations are really not well positioned to defend themselves. And that's a problem. And that's why we exist, to help identify talent, cultivate it. And that's what our program is about.
Are you graduate school for hackers? Is that a decent description?
So I think,
I mean, they should learn it from you before they go out and get jobs?
Yes. I think education right now focuses on the wrong things, right? Memorize these definitions, cram for the test, forget the information the following day. Nobody wins. And with our program, it's all hands-on. 6 months is our current program. The students are immersed hands-on challenges all day long. And these are skills that matter. We're talking about, if I can get nerdy for a second, reverse engineering, disassembly, debugging, having that skill set.
I know what all that is.
Absolutely.
Dave doesn't.
Yeah. But the value there is that with that skill set, opportunities immediately come your way for meaningful work, for job satisfaction, for decent pay that's commensurate with that skill set.
Let's deal in generalities for a second. The generality being that a code writer is a smart individual. So I would assume you have some ego issues. Kids come in and they got it all figured out. How does your program break it down to show them that they need more?
Yeah, we call that the Pedro problem. That's one of our first students who came in with some ego, right? I know all the things in the world, and great. And so that's okay. The way that we've structured our course is, again, not like a traditional environment where, all right, it's noon. If you didn't get the answer, it's 17. Let's go to lunch and move on to a different topic. The challenges that we give our students are hard. The students are broken into teams, 6, 7, 8 students per team, and the problems that we give them take 4 to 6 weeks to solve. So I don't care how smart you are, it's a team-based effort. These are hard things that look, no business is going to hire you if you can only have an attention span of 5 minutes and then give up.
So. I want to meet somebody who knows a little bit about that, I'm sure. Veronica Colgrove. This whole City Colleges of Chicago thing has been a nice tie-in for everybody, and the mayor's a big supporter as well. While we're in the break, Evan has agreed to hack into the Maine Tribune Media security system and open it to all of us.
Good, because our email's really slow today. So maybe you can
you know what that move is?
Speed that up.
That's like when I was in school in the TV radio program and my grandmother thought I could fix her TV. Just because Evan's here, you think Evan can fix your email.
Yes.
It's 9:21, back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. Talking with Evan Dornbush, former NSA, his company doing very well, thank you. I would assume Point 3 Security is getting people that are asking, how do I get in now after 3 years?
Yeah, that's fair. There are several ways you can get involved. I think if you are a business, consider partnering with us. We have a privileged partnership program that allows members to run sponsorships or commit to hiring one of our graduates. If you're an individual, if you can't attend the Chicago offering, we now have an online version called Escalate.
And let's kick over to that because Veronica's here. Veronica Colgrove. Veronica, what brings you to this party?
To this party, I am about to graduate from the very first partnership between Point 3 and the DOD and the City of Chicago.
And what does that mean job-wise? Any idea at this point?
So the City Colleges did a really great job of lining up internships for us. So right now everybody's in the middle of taking exams and interviewing, and we're all going to kind of shake out where we're going after
What's
this.
The big dream? What do you want to do?
I would like to analyze malware.
Analyze malware. Well, we're going to need about, we're definitely going to need that. How fast, either one of you guys, how fast is malware being generated? Is it every minute of every day?
Yeah, so I think Panda Antivirus, I think they're a Spanish company, they purport that they see 200-some-odd thousand malware samples a day. And so I think there's not 200,000 bad guys coming up with a new thing every day, but what you have is the ability to take something that's out there and very quickly repurpose it. And that's bad because antivirus tends to look for what it knows about, and the moment that it doesn't know about what it's looking at, you know, game over.
Yeah, so it's like a germ in the body. So Veronica, is Veronica and folks like Veronica, is it bodies that are needed because we need more people working this problem?
Yes, I think it's a passion problem. Again, I think what you need is folks that can analyze a problem. So again, going back to current academia, right, the intent is memorize a thing and now you're an expert. But with students like Veronica, what they do is they sit and they think about target identification, vulnerability research and exploit development, having some kind of cyber effect, right? Make that thing change your paycheck from $10 an hour to $15.
No, I just said email.
Hour,
I didn't say the paycheck.
Oh, email. Got
you
it.
Said I should have said paycheck.
However.
I'm looking forward.
But you can work on that
but
next.
But these are hard skills, and it takes all sorts to understand that problem set and to work through it.
And Veronica, I'm looking forward to deleting Norton to put in my new Veronica antivirus program.
Right.
That she's developing now. What made you interested in this?
So my college degree was in computer science, and then afterwards I got into education. And in some ways, they have a lot in common because you have to keep track of a lot of different tiny details and be working toward this general goal. Mm-hmm. And it all changes based on either your students or the team or the sample of malware that you're given or this general problem that you want to solve. So a lot of details and a lot of just sticking it out.
When it comes
patience.
To yeah, right. Mm-hmm. When it comes to malware, how safe are firewalls now? Our company, because it used to be back in the day, oh, the firewalls are there, everything is safe. Are they still as safe or not so much anymore?
Huh. We spent a lot of time looking at binaries and like what's already on the computer. So I guess I couldn't tell you about your firewall, but I could tell you I wouldn't try to break your firewall. I would try to piggyback on stuff that's already getting through your firewall.
Got
so
it.
You probably are on the internet. I would just go through that.
Well, what's the number one entry point for malware?
I think it's constantly changing. Again, it depends on who you are. I think an individual has different assets than a multinational conglomerate. But what you hear about in the news more often than not is two things. Number one is email. You know, people sending things through email and people clicking on links and installing packages that they're not sure what they're installing. And I think taking your laptop or mobile device and going to coffee shop, train station, airport,
public
hotel.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Yeah, public Wi-Fi is, you know, it's like leaving the door open after the store's closed, right?
Again, it depends, right? I mean, I use public Wi-Fi, but I'm always cognizant of where I am and how I'm approaching it. Personally, I use a VPN. That's something that your listeners can acquire relatively cheaply.
Voice over protocol?
No, virtual private network. Close. Close. I think you got the V or something.
Yeah. Mm. Just don't do any personal banking while you're at Starbucks.
Yeah, know where you are. Know your surroundings. Yeah. Absolutely.
And your tie to what the City College program is helps kids on an ongoing basis. So what do you know of Veronica's work, or did you just meet her this morning?
No, we've been working with Veronica for 6 months. We've had 22
Well, it's greater right here in front of her.
Oh, geez.
Evan's actually doing it. He's writing the code right now.
A+.
No, I mean, all of our students are immensely capable, and that, I think, is the power of the program, right? Cybersecurity is, it's a colorblind industry, right? I don't care where you come from. I don't care how you express yourself, what clothes you wear, tattoos, piercing. It doesn't matter. Not everyone gets that participation trophy, but if you've got skills, like, you are welcome into the fold. And what students like Veronica are telling us, many of our students come from Chicago South Side, is that, you know, there's opportunity there. People didn't give them a shot, and now they do because they can walk the walk and talk the talk.
It's the release of Escalate, part of the Privilege Partnership. You know, and if it's working for a company like Point 3, you'd recommend it to others, I suppose, right?
Yeah, what we've done with Escalate is we've taken a $20,000 tuition and distilled it down to a $3,000 online offering. And so,
how about that?
Yeah, for details, please check out our website, ittakesahuman.com for how you can
get involved. Which is a great name. It takes a human. .com for Point 3 and details on Escalate. When do you have to go to work?
As soon as...
When is the internship over? When do you have to start being a grown-up?
Oof, jeez. I hope never. I hope that I can just play with computers and binaries all the time and never grow up.
All right, just come out of the basement occasionally. Get some sunlight. You look fabulous. You look like you live a life. So come on out and play with us once in a while.
I like to live a life.
Yeah. Congratulations, seriously.
Thank you.
And if there's one word I would keep in mind from Evan, it's passion. Mm-hmm. You know, you seem to have a passion for what you want to do, and that seems to be what he's looking for. And what the industry is looking for. So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And congratulations again to City Colleges. ItTakesAHuman.com?
Yes, sir.
Got it. 931. Big story is going to be what?
Big story is coming up. A teenager facing charges in Wakanda after making a threat about his school.
Not a good idea, young man. We'll get him into hacking. We'll come back in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
9:45 now, and the program continues because we're until 10. This is Steve Cochran Show, number 1032. Hope you follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show. Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, 312-981-7200. If you miss any portion of the show, I'll need a note from your mother. Prior to that, podcasts have been available everywhere. We're not making any money off those podcasts. We're just handing out free material. Oh, boy. It's tough. It's tough. It's tough. That's why I'm getting into computer hacking. Joining us now in the studio, this is a cool idea. Cookingupchange.org. It's a culinary competition founded by Healthy Schools that challenges student chefs to make stuff that's reasonably priced. Actually, really reasonably priced. It's also nutritionally great for everybody. And Rosa Ramirez Richter is in studio with us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What role do you play in this?
So I'm the director of programs and policy at Healthy Schools Campaign.
All right. So you're at Healthy Schools every day. You're doing what?
So a little bit of everything from, you know, visiting schools and talking to principals, talking to students, to, you know, pushing forward policies that make it easier for kids to be more active and have healthier food at their schools.
Dave Ennett, the guy sitting next to you to your left, eats kale, and he goes out on the median and he grazes on the grass out here.
not when it's raining.
Yeah, not today. But he eats very healthy,
yeah.
Which is why he looks like this. He's 94 years old. I mean, look at him. He looks fantastic. But we worry because kids have never been more out of shape, as far as we know, right?
That's right. I mean, I think the National School Lunch Program started in 1946, and it was around the concern that kids were malnutritioned and not ready to go and, you know, fight for the United States and be military ready. And we kind of face the same similar problem today. Our kids are still malnutritioned, but are overweight and obese. And so school food is a great way to impact student nutrition and also get them ready and ready to learn for school.
When I was in school, you would get, like, you know, $1 or $2 a day, whatever it would be, but I would get nachos or, you know, things that I know you're grimaced, but food that maybe isn't as healthy because it was less expensive. So I guess my question to you is, can you eat healthy less with not a lot of money?
I mean, that's the greatest challenge, right? It's, you know, how can we make an investment in our future and our children, and is it worth it? And the science and the experts in the community have said that good nutrition is great for student learning. And, you know, it's like the saying goes, you are what you eat. And 30 million plus students and participate in the National School Lunch Program across the country, and we're facing an obesity and overweight epidemic. So it seems like a sound investment. If they're already eating school food, like, why not make it healthy and nutritious and good for you, but also make it delicious?
And part of the challenge for Cooking Up Change is they need to do this for about $1 a meal.
That's right. It mimics the real life constraints of food service programs and the school meal programs across the country. As you said, budget concerns are across the country. And
Chicago, I mean, every major city, Chicago public schools, I can't imagine how much pressure there is to try to feed these kids.
Right, exactly. And it's a federally funded program, so they do receive some aid. But right, you're dealing with how to make a creative and nutritious meal under $1 or you know, just above $1. And, you know, you could say Chicago Public Schools is the largest restaurant in town. They're feeding 370,000 plus students. Many of them qualify for the free and reduced price lunch. So it's a great way to, you know, impact the good nutrition and get students ready for learning.
There's details at cookingupchange.org for all things related to this, but one of the cool things is the winning team of kids. How many on this team? Two, three? Is there a limit?
It varies. It varies from like three team members to six. Really depends on the culinary high schools that are depending.
And the winning team gets to go on an all expense paid or an expenses paid trip. Let's not give them everything. No, an all expense paid trip to Washington, D.C. in June to compete at the national competition against other cities, which is nothing but fun. It's great.
Yeah, it's a really neat experience for many of these students. It's the first time on an airplane or visiting the nation's capital, and they're meeting with other peers their age, and they're engaging in this conversation about, you know, let's make good food for us. You know, so many times it's adults telling them what to eat and how to eat, and this is really putting them in the driving seat.
This is bipartisan. Where people are going, oh, it's that Michelle Obama again, telling the kids what to eat. No, everybody should be concerned about kids eating healthy. Good God, look at us as adults.
Right. Cheesecake studio.
this is not a political thing. This is a kids need to eat healthy and thrive and survive. Frankly, so they can take care of us. It's coming sooner than we think. You have a gala coming up.
Yeah, it's tomorrow night. Our students are putting the finishing touches. They're getting their nervous wigglies out. They're going to present their dishes to a panel of esteemed judges, from elected local officials to, you know, chefs in the Chicago scene.
How esteemed? Do we really have esteemed?
It's in the eye of the beholder.
They're pretty esteemed, pretty solidly esteemed.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah, absolutely.
The ones that aren't esteemed, they don't know. but these judges will decide who advances to the finals or ultimately pick a local winner.
We will pick the local winner, and that winning team advances to the national competition.
Pretty cool.
And there's some steep competition at the national level. We have about 10 different cities, some from California to Jacksonville, Florida, to, you know, the East Coast. So it's really neat to see all the different variety of dishes from, you know, influenced by their local communities.
And where's the gala?
So it's tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, at the Bridgeport Art Center here in Chicago.
Yeah. And that's a nice building.
It's beautiful. You could see the entire skyline. And it really, the energy of the students being out there and really being so proud of the dishes they're creating, it's a great scene to be a part of.
Yeah, living in the city, fun thing to do. If you don't live in the city, hang around after work, have a good time.
Yeah, and we provide transportation. So you're taking the Red Line or any other public transportation route, we will pick you up and bring you to the gala.
Is that right?
That's right.
Look
That's
at awesome. You. It's Rosa Ramirez Richter from Healthy Schools. Thanks for the work you're doing every day.
Thanks for having me.
And what website are we sending him to again?
www.cookingupchange.org.
Cookingupchange.org. Great. Sorry about the cheesecake in studio. I feel like you're judging us. It's 9:52. Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN. I have two shows to plug. Okay. One of them you're involved in.
Really?
Actually, you could be involved in both. What are you doing New Year's Eve?
Actually, I'm not sure.
Are you thinking you're going to be at a bowl game?
Probably back from a bowl game
you
by
can
then.
Be
I'll be at a bowl game that week, but I might be back.
You can be mine and Mary's date because we're going to go to the show.
Okay, but what do I tell my wife?
She can be our date, too.
She can come, too.
Boy, it's getting to be a big car.
I'm having dinner with Karen that night anyway, so.
Oh, thanks, John.
Awesome, yeah.
Let's start with next Tuesday, Saturday Night Live. I'm giving away tickets right now to the Saturday Night Live experience, couple to pair at least at 312-981-7200. But you have to be able to join us next Tuesday morning between 6 and 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. If you can't make it, don't type the phone line. Let somebody else call in, 312-981-7200. You drop by before work. You can hang for the whole thing. You're going to be there for the private show.
Yeah.
It's a private show for you. At the Saturday Night Live experience at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Thanks for asking me. I
Next
will come.
Next Tuesday. No, you
I'll
have
be
to be there.
Yeah, no, I'm going
to
come.
Yeah, you absolutely. Have to go to that.
Yeah, that one you have to be at.
Okay.
And then New Year's Eve, John, tickets out.
You go to eventbrite.com and just look up Cochran's New Year's Eve, and it's right there. It's easy. Easy peasy.
And back with Bill and Wendy. Next.